I'd like to read the prayer list for this week. Prayers for a happy rebirth. All those killed by natural and man-made disasters, especially the victims of terrorist attacks in France, all beings killed by others through abortion, execution, or crime, or through hunting, fishing, pest control, or the killing of animals. All the Tibetans and children taking their own lives in the struggle for religious freedom. Chris Atkins, Rita Bellil, Dimitri Diamandopoulos, Elaine McCloskey-Gall, Ronald Johnson, Richard Myers, Myo Cha Kim Nottingham, Mother of Mayor Stafford, Agnes the Duck, Francis the Duck, Luna the Cat, Sammy the Cat. Job Search, Roseanne Barona, Mike Brown, Joey Gooch, Joe Griffiths, Jim Kay, Bruce Miller, Pooja Shaw, Greg Weaver, Joe Whitley. Prayers for health and well-being. Kabje Lama Zompa Rinpoche, Venmo Thich Nhat Hanh, Venmo Gyaltan, Venmo Chökyi Lamo, all those harmed by natural and man-made disasters, especially the terrorists and victims of terrorism in France, all those in prison suffering abuse or abusing others, and all those addicted to harmful substances. For the Tibetan people and for the Chinese authorities, may the nonviolent path lead to full reconciliation and religious freedom. Joseph Atkins and family, John Ballard, Jim Barnes, Luce and Narcisse Barona, Narcisse Barona Sr., Katie Bohm, Susan Bohm, Bethany Bullis, Logan Bullis, Dale Bullis, Steve Bullen family, Yuki Burrows, Ken Castro, family of Dimitri Diamandopoulos, Tashi Droma, Violetta Ellis, Mildred Gooch, Andrew Gorton, Tracy Haas Thompson, Keith Harmon, Christina Harrison, Geraldine Harvey, Frank Holt, Kenny Jackson, Buddy, Lloyd Johnson, family of Ronald Johnson, Dal and Sue Johnston, Helen Kasanoff, Rachel Keith, Nina Kowalski, Jonathan Kramer, Shanti and Kurt Latimer, Kim Lillig, Mary Lojek, Pat Long, Ina Lovelace, RM, Carolyn and Granger Marley, Wilbert Martin, Martin Massenberg, Elvia Mejia and family, Bruce Miller, Audrey Murphy, family of Richard Myers, Evan Merlin family, Marie Oliver, Jay Pandya, Renee Reyna, Ann Rivers, Ralph Rumley, Ariana Scott, Joanne Cease, Pooja Shaw, Patty Sheriff, Ronnie Schumann, Emily Smith, Sarah Bumgardner, Snotherly, Nancy Sorbet, Carol Struther, Wopsam Tuptim, Francis Ullman, Dion Washington, Shay Wokowicki, Marguerite Young, Brittany the Maltese, Dorje the Encadro the Pigs, Ipo the Cat, Omani Pimahun the Chipmunk, Skibo the Dog, Tashi the Cat, Yeshi the Cat.
Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning. My name is Lamo. Welcome to the Sunday teachings on the Kadampa Center. Geshe-la will be here in a few minutes. As soon as he comes in, if you please stand out of respect for him and the teachings, he will start prostrating, and many of us will also do that. If you feel uncomfortable doing so, you're welcome to just remain standing. We'll be saying some prayers in the Gold Prayer Book. If you're sitting in a chair, you may have, instead of a Gold Prayer Book, a white booklet. And in that booklet, I believe most of the prayers are either on the front or the back of the first page. So you can ignore the page numbers that I'm saying. But in the Gold Book, we'll be starting on page 183 with Shakyamuni Buddha's teaching. Children are welcome to come up front and sit on the blue mats if they like. I believe Kandala will be giving a teaching, a story, I believe. No, not today. Okay. All right. No story. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. If you have cell phones, if you please turn them mute or turn them off so as not to disturb the teachings, you're welcome to bring a drink in here if you like.
When you start the dedication, Jill and I were just going to go get that set up.
Okay.
So it will be after the dedication.
Okay. All right. No, I mean anything else. I think that's it. Let's see. If you have any questions that for Geshe-la, if you can just put it on his desk. Geshe-la has also reminded me to announce that it's a great purification practice and great way to accumulate merit by circumambulating the stupa outside, the beautiful white structure out there, outside. There is full of Dharmakaya relics, which are primary relics, and many other holy objects, and also to spin the prayer wheels that are outside to and from the stupa. I think that's everything. You please turn to page 183 in the Gold Book, and the first page in the white booklet. And let's chant the mantra between the two lines. If you're looking at the Gold Book, it's called the Shakyamuni Buddha mantra. Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha. Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha. Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha. Now turn to page 34 in the Gold Book, and we'll read the four immeasurables in English. on the middle of the page, one time. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Now in the Gold Book, turn the page to 37, and let's chant the Four Immeasurables chanting version. And Tibetan, page 37. San Chan Tam Che De Wa Dong De Wei Yu Dong Den Po Chu Chi. And Rasik's mantra 8 times, and then Green Tara's mantra 7 times. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Okay, now the children are welcome to go to their classes.
What do you call it?
Play.
Huh?
We'll be at the end.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, begin with short meditation, okay? So So any form of meditation, so probably not going to give you explanations, because I give explanations many times, so maybe you can focus on your own breath, you know, on your own breath in and out, or welcome to do review meditations, or welcome to do concentration meditations, or you can use your own breath as an object to focus on. I think positive state of mind is, you know, that's how the meditation should begin, you know, with positive state of mind, okay? Positive state of mind. So if your mind has been disturbed while, you know, maybe something happened yesterday, or maybe something happened this morning, or maybe your breakfast burned on the stove. In my case, the boiling the tea, you know, I make tea in the morning. Every morning, the way I make tea, I first boil the water, then put the black tea, so then let it boil a little bit, you know, 5 minutes. Then I pour milk, so then let it boil again. Sometimes not being mindful, you know, kind of like forgot that tea is boiling, so doing something else, all of a sudden you hear the sound. That's it. Peace of mind is gone. Peace of mind is gone. Even though you can clean, but doesn't help. Peace of mind is gone. So if that's my case. So anyway, so if our mind has been disturbed like something like that, so then, you know, breathing meditations, 21 breathing meditations, you know, will help to neutralize your mind. So if you count, you know, 21 times, you breathe in, or maybe 7 times, just, you know, slowly breathe out, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in 7 times, or maybe 21 times. That's supposed to help you, supposed to help neutralize your mind. So then from there, when mind is, you know, like neutrals, so it's easy to set up some, you know, positive thought, you know, easy to generate positive thought. So reason behind that is, you know, like, as I mentioned many times, this is important, you know, important for me, so important for all of us, you know. So the purpose of meditation is to reduce, you know, to reduce or minimize, even though it's very difficult. I'm not saying it's easy, you know, it's not easy for me, and you know, not easy for everybody, all of us, it's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy, but, you know, that's the purpose of meditation, is to reduce disturbing thought. See, gomtop nimochua, the power of meditation to reduce or liberate yourself from the disturbing thought. See, or liberate yourself or free yourself from disturbing thought. That's the purpose of meditation. So it's very, very important to keep that in our mind. So when we meditate, you know, so there's only way we can liberate or free ourselves or reduce disturbing thought is to generate some kind of positive thought. Positive thought, thinking something positive, you know, something good. Okay, something good, something wonderful. We are all capable, you know. Regardless whether you're believing in something or not, we are all capable to think something positive. We can do. No, that's not impossible, that's very possible. We can do, so we can think something positive. So that's good meditation, no? So that's, when you think something positive, so then that's productive meditation, no? So nature of the mind, you know, disturbing mind and positive mind has not arise together. No, cannot. That's nature. So think something positive, you know, something good, something wonderful, something wonderful, you know, think something wonderful, okay? Hmm? There's only way we can stop, reduce, free or liberate ourselves from disturbing thought to think something positive. So review meditation, you can review some materials, you can review at the same time, reviewing with thinking, not just review, review with thinking of the meaning of the materials, not just reviewing them, So, so then if you think what you're reviewing in your mind, if you think about the meaning, all this meaning is something positive, something positive. So that there's no, they become productive material. Okay. So now I'm not talking much, so we'll meditate, okay? Please, would you mind take 1 minute to introduce to yourself each other? So then after that, I'll read some questions. Yeah.
the negative karma more weighty, you know, heavier for killing mothers in this life than killing another person. Do you understand what they're asking?
That's good. You enjoy talking. That's very good. Thank you very much. Thank you. It's very good, you know, to see people are talking. Yeah, you know, so no Wi-Fi. So that's very good, you know, so conversation is good, very good. So nowadays you don't see, you know, in the restaurant, the store, people don't talk to each other, you know, they're always something. Anyway, so thank you very much. Today, I thought it'll be nice to discuss difference between self-compassion and compassion. Self-compassion and compassion. What's the difference between self-compassion and compassion? So that's the topic to discuss, okay? So maybe after I will say a few words. And also, please also a little bit, you know, discuss a little bit about, I don't know how to say, concern about compassion, concern, I'm not sure, concern. Mm-hmm. Am I saying correctly?
Yeah.
Do people have concern about compassion, to develop a compassion? Well, you know, I myself have so much problems, you know, so I can't think about other people's problems. So what's called downside? Yeah, compassion. There's something that, you know, I very much want to hear, you know, what I think. So then difference between compassion and self-compassion. So, and also the what is the concern about compassion? So then, before that, you know, I will read here some questions. So, so here the word anxiety in Tibetan word is called ngangda. So see, I was a little bitten by the rabbit. I was not bitten by rabbit. No.
Yeah.
So how do you say rabbit?
Rabbit.
Rabbit dog?
R-A-B-I-D. Rabbit.
Oh, rabies, no rabies.
Well, a dog that has rabies is a rabbit dog.
Oh, rabbit dog. Oh. When I was 30 years old, you know, in the monastery, so I was bitten by, you know, quite big, you know, in my under my legs, so like quite big, you know, bite. So anyway, then after that, you know, I was very, very, you know, I have anxiety. Anxiety towards dog, you know. So what do you think? Like, I think the anxiety, the cause of anxiety is some form of attachment. Cause, you know. So, as when you think of, when you talk about attachment, there's two types of attachment. One they call here aversion.
Yeah.
That's also a form of attachment, you know. Wanting to be separate or not wanting to be separate. You know, the main people talk about not wanting to be separate. That's the kind of attachment, kind of well-known people talk about. But another form of attachment is to be wanting to be separate, not wanting to be close, you know, not wanting to be close with the dogs or something like that. So, and anxiety, you know, there's probably, there's many, many different kinds of anxiety, you know, so it varies on individuals. So, is anxiety a fear?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Is a fear?
Yes.
Shanaza, but there's two words, you know, fear and anxiety. I was wondering, is same or different? Even in Tibetan, there's two words. Shenang, there's no fear. Nangda, there's like anxiety. Or, so, see, you know, sometimes you're not able to sleep by yourself, you know, in the big house. That you are, you know, like, afraid. That kind of fear, afraid. Is that anxiety? You're afraid of there might be something in the house? Is that anxiety?
Yeah.
Huh? So I was just wondering, you know, like, difference between anxiety and fear, you know, so yeah, you are fearful that there might be, you know, some ghost or something, I'm not sure. Not in America, probably in some Asian country.
I think fear can cause us to be anxious. I think fear can cause us and can cause anxiety.
So fear causes anxiety?
Yeah, I think, you know, like we may have fear and then it causes us to become very anxious about things.
So you think you think anxiety comes after fear?
That's what I think. I think like we start off, is it on? Yeah, you know, I think, for example, some of us like fear the unknown. We fear death, for example, because it's unknown. And then we become very anxious about that. And so then it's sort of like, and that intensifies our fear.
Mm.
This is what I think when I think about that. So I think there's a difference, but it's very, very similar.
You know, when people talk, we all should listen because we learn something. You know, we learn from, not just from me, we learn from everybody. Yeah. Didn't it?
You know, don't shoot me, but I see it the opposite. Anxiety for me, how I see it, is kind of the opposite. Anxiety is like that meter out there.
Mm.
It's like that sensor on my body. And so I'm anxious about something, and then I have to, it's like through my senses, through an aggregate. Through my senses, I sense I'm anxious about something. Like it starts, and then I have to think about, then conceptually go, oh, I'm anxious because I fear this. So anxious is like that part of me that's my part of my aggregates that senses something, and I conceptualize the fear.
Mm.
That's how I it's just.
Yeah, very, very good. Yeah, very good. Everybody's listening, so very good. So we get benefit, yeah.
Yes, I'm Fran. I agree with Jeff. If you want to get real specific by dictionary, usually fear is associated with an object, so I can fear a rabid dog. Anxiety is more often a general tone or feeling, and you may not know what the object is, and so it could be more vague or a general thing. But once I know exactly what it is that I'm feeling that about, it could turn into a fear of an object. Someone down a dark alley, you know, whereas if I walk down a dark alley, if I think murderer, I think that's more fear. Whereas if I have a sense of, I don't know really why I'm so scared about this, I have an anxious feeling, but I don't know what the object is.
So now what is the antidote for anxiety? What's the antidote? What's the remedy? What's the remedy for anxiety? What's the drop?
Yeah.
That was not quite good.
To me, I had a lot of anxiety. I've used a lot of meditation and breathing. When you take a deep breath, it already helps to relieve the anxiety. So breathing. You tend to not breathe when you're anxious. You don't know that you've stopped breathing. That's part of the anxiety, is like your body just tenses up and stops breathing. So the antidote is to start breathing. And then you just have to start thinking positive thoughts, or it's okay, and start convincing yourself that, you know, there's nothing to be anxious about.
Remedy, that's a very good remedy, yeah. So another remedy is, what is it?
Geshe-la, I have found that when I stretch myself and go into uncomfortable situations in one area, that might help. That usually helps my anxiety in another area. So creating more flexibility for going to a country that doesn't have good coffee will help when I'm worried about if the dog out there might be rabid. So.
But you say, like, please, you say flexibility?
Mental flexibility, which
helps.
Helps me. So, stepping into an uncomfortable situation intentionally.
That's something to think about. Mental flexibility, yeah. Yeah.
I have anxiety when I have to talk in front of big groups, which is kind of.
Oh, this is now a good opportunity for you.
I know. It's really weird, but I get really nervous. And I just, every time I get anxious about anything, really, I just tell myself, well, it's going to be over soon. Just get it over with. And then after, you're going to be okay. Fine. Don't worry about it. So I think just telling myself that that feeling isn't going to last very long kind of calms me down a little bit enough to get it over with.
Oh, wonderful. Very good. Very good. Yeah.
Hi. I sometimes have general anxiety where I don't have a good handle on why I'm anxious, and if I don't, and I don't know how to change that, I found that thinking about the self-cherishing I, whereas that helps me to just say, let it go. It's not a problem.
Are you talking more about emptiness?
When I'm anxious, I think about, I meditate on the self-cherishing I. Yeah, in a way.
Trying to find that I?
Actually saying,
who is
you,
who
have
is
that, let it go because it's not real. Or it helps me to know that everyone has this and I can just let it go and then I feel better. I don't know if I'm being clear.
Yeah, you're clear. So I was wondering, like, are you thinking from the emptiness point of view?
Sometimes.
Like the self that's so anxious, so fearful, so has anxiety?
Anxious, yeah. They don't, yes, that self anxious is
Not... So then just like, rather than just floating,
yeah.
Rather than going along with that, you just come back and analyze who is anxious, but who is like fearful. So that leads to bring back to the meditation on emptiness. Who is anxious? Who is like fearful? When you analyze, then eventually, you know, it will fade away.
Yeah.
Yeah, put one there.
So, to follow up with that, I was thinking that anxiety is really something I create when I'm projecting some awful outcome to, you know, like speaking in front of a large crowd or, you know, seeing a dog that I'm not familiar with, if I, you know, have some past history. And I have to remind myself that it's about what's going on right now. It's not about what happened in the past or what might happen in the future. All I can do is be present to right now and use my breath and calm myself down and, you know, soothe myself, however, and know that I can handle whatever the situation is.
Very good. Yeah, wonderful.
Have someone write every year.
Yeah, please, there. Yeah. Kim, there.
No.
Oh, sorry. There's a blunder letter. I should not get involved.
That's okay. I have two antidotes that I've tried depending on the situation that have helped me when I'm anxious. If I'm in a situation where someone else is also experiencing anxiety from that thing, if I can try to help that person, I forget that I'm anxious. Like when I was trying out in middle school for the chorus, my friend was more nervous than me, and so I was focused on helping her, and I forgot that I was nervous. But if I'm in a situation where I'm just anxious about something by myself, then honestly what helps me a lot is 9-round breathing. If I just notice I'm anxious and I just stop and I do 9-round breathing, it helps me feel better.
Yeah, wonderful. Now, yeah. Thank you.
In my opinion, anxiety, you're usually fearful.
Please, can you be a little closer, yeah.
For anxiety, you're usually fearful for something that isn't really that bad. So if you stop and think about what you're anxious about, the outcome's usually not that bad, but your fear holds you back. So if you actually take the time to think about it, the outcome usually is not bad in any way, shape, or form. It's just your fear.
Oh, wonderful. Very good. Yeah. Yeah.
It's very similar to what he was saying. I know another technique that it helps because sometimes when you're anxious about something that might happen, your mind tries to get away from that and try to don't go there. And it, that's the anxiety to kind of don't feel that pain or that nervousness or that fear. And one technique actually is to totally go into that, to what you're feeling, and follow the whole story in your mind, but just be observant and don't be and start watching yourself. Like if you were a second person looking at everything that's all that story in your mind that you're so afraid of, and then because it really doesn't have any danger just by imagine everything that's going on. And then once you go through, it's like, oh, I survived. I got through it. You know, I think that's kind of helped to release the anxiety.
So need like looks like sounds like need wisdom. Wisdom, more wisdom. See, like you know, my teacher Kenzo Rinpoche is very, very afraid to sleep by himself, you know, in the house. He will not sleep. You know, he's very afraid. So, it's hard to say. So, some people, they have fear of, you know, truth. Last time when Rinpoche was here at the retreat, so we are walking, at evening we are walking on the back to Rinpoche's house, but there's no snake. Snake is already dead. But Rinpoche made this huge noise. And I'm not that afraid, you know. I told him he's already dead, but still Rinpoche was really, you know, afraid. Then Roger kind of sees Rinpoche, Roger trying to touch. Rinpoche says, Roger, don't touch. It's like tiny snake, you know. So, anyway, so I'm also, you know, like, see, when I was a child, you know, like 7, 8, 9, 10, I was already in the monastery. So we the animals we play. But we are playing, the way we play, you know, we just grab the pillow, so then hold one person in the pillow, cover, you know, like just hold there. It's not good, but you know, so then. Yeah, so like, put it there, you know. Maybe the monks don't know how to play. So see, so then you know, somehow, maybe the first, you know, you just grew a young monk, then just, when the teachers go away, when there's no teachers, they go somewhere, then all the kids, you know, the young monk, they just, with the pillow, then they just hit each other on the pillow fight. So then eventually, you know, just get one, get down, then, you know, everybody got on. Then you know, you can hardly breathe, then you just... Anyway, so I think, you know, it's related to that, you know. I was, claustrophobia.
Yes.
I had that, you know, so probably because of that, playing that long time, you know. So then having that, you know, that problems, even like going into the airplane, I'm thinking, oh, now, you know, you are going inside something that's totally closed. You have to think you can't get out, you know, when you're on the air, you can't get out. Then it's a mind that makes, you know, like, it's like very, very, like how you say, you can feel, you know. Then I look around, I'm the only one who's about to die. You know, everybody else is having a good time, you're talking, reading newspaper, business and this. I'm the only one who's about to now die, you know. So then slowly, one time I almost get out of the plane when I about to go to New Orleans, that's a long time ago now, probably like 10, 12 years ago. I almost get out of the plane because I'm going inside an airplane with that kind of mindset, you know. So then it's all about mind, it's all in the mind. So I look around, you know, so then slowly, you know, it's the wisdom, I look around, you know, even the small kids, they're playing, laughing, I'm the only one, you know, who's now having all these problems, you know. So slowly. So now I don't have problems. I don't have any problems, you know. So then another thing is, you know, I also do have fear, you know, sleeping alone. Because Sambo now is in India. So I'm alone myself at my house. So then when I sleep, so you know, I notice every single noise. You know, so probably the noise is there during the daytime, I don't pay attention. In the night, every single noise, you know, I know something that will boot or like make some noise, like, then, something like that. So they see it, then projection, yeah, you write, project, you project, you know, oh, something is now coming up. So what do you do? So I just turn off the light in the kitchen. So I just leave the light on in the kitchen. Make, you know, if somebody comes, they come from the kitchen, then upstairs, you know. I'm not worried about people, I'm worried about some kind of ghost, I'm not sure. So it's kind of funny. So then sometimes the game over comes over and he sleeps. Just knowing that somebody downstairs makes you really sleep, you know. It's all in the mind. So then I thought, okay, Giza was not coming back from 2 months now, he's not going to come back. So now that's my problem. I said, you are going to die anyway, you know. It's a matter of time, you are going to die anyway, so you know, so how you say, so be it. Yeah, so be it, you know, I just go, you know, whatever happens, it happens, it doesn't matter, you know. So now, no problem, no. Someday no problem, someday still thinking something there, you know, most of the time now. And I purposely open my door, I purposely don't lock, I purposely let it open, you know. So I just want to see, if somebody comes, I want to see, you know. It's a ghost or I want to see, I just open my door, I don't close my door, I just open and lift up the door curtain, I just lift it up and just sleep, you know, if somebody comes I can see, you know? I don't lock the door. So anyway, so it's all, I think, the wisdom, you know, so, yeah, so you said, you know, we project, so then some form of wisdom will help. So, So here, the reason here, how can one deal with fear of the unknown and extreme anxiety? So you understand?
So that's my question. I have suffered from a lot of fear and anxiety since I was a little girl. So my entire life has been completely consumed with fear and anxiety, and I wanted to hear other people's take and experience on that. Some of the new tactics that I've learned recently through doing a lot of research and doing a lot of searching is typically when I am fearful of something and I get that anxiety as a result of it, it's usually because I'm attached to whatever I'm fearful of. So if I'm scared of a spider biting me, it's because I value my life and I don't want to die. or if I'm fearful of, losing my job, it's because I value taking care of my family. So it's all these attachments that I have. So like you said earlier, it's really, for me, like when I really dissect it and analyze it, it comes back to me being so attached to everything that this world has to offer, and all the existential things that are outside of me. I'm very attached to those things.
So I think thank you very much. Wonderful. So even just like putting a seatbelt, seatbelt in the car, seatbelt. That's also any fear, I think, is like according to Buddhist philosophy, is caused by attachment, some kind of holding on, not wanting to be separate, or wanting to be separate from something, and not wanting to be separate or attachment. So it's kind of like oil, oil on the piece of paper. When you drop, it's that in the beginning it kind of looks small, but eventually, it just kind of like takes over, So then another example they use is like as living in the leather, the wet leather. Beginning you can stretch, it's kind of comfortable. Then slowly it will dry up. Slowly, it's not just right away, it's slowly, then it will squeeze you, then you can hardly move. That's like, then attachment become like tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter, then it's hard to, in that case, what you need some kind of scissor or some kind of tools to cut, then you'll be free, you don't have to squeeze there, you don't have to get tighter, you just cut it and release yourself. So, another example they use, what do you call baby cow? Cat. So, in my hometown, not here, my hometown family owns cow, individual family owns 2-3 cows, So then you have babies, So that's one of my jobs when I was, six. That's my job, is to make sure that when the mama cows come back to the house, make sure that baby cow don't get all the milk. So I have to guard the baby cow to make sure baby cow don't drink all the milk, otherwise we have no milk. So then when the mama cows come back and make noise, the baby cow go crazy. So my job is to hold on. Sometimes, so the baby cow just drag me. I'm just screaming, crying. Sometimes neighbor comes help, sometimes then the baby cow. So most of the time the baby cow is tied on the leash from the one stick. So the example, one of the examples they use for attachment is as soon as the baby cow hears mother cow, it goes, towards mother cow. In the beginning the leash is quite long. You can go quite far away. So then after that you go round and round, not knowing, and you get, rope gets smaller, shorter, then basically you can't just really move, You just go round. That's also example they use attachment, It's get tighter. So impermanent. So wisdom about impermanent change. What you call impermanent, change. Thinking about change. changing the job, environment, you know, season, you know, all kinds of things change, you know, everything, you know, nothing lasts forever. Everything changes, people change, mind change, fashion change, fashion change, you know, some they say, when I was young, back in the monasteries, maybe early hippie era. So they kind of clothes they wear, like pants. You know, in India it's very, very famous, very, very famous, you know, only, so now if someone wears that, it looks kind of strange. No? Long pen.
Bell bottoms and hip huggers.
So see, that all the fashion used to be like 100 years ago, that's fashion now, if someone wears it, looks very strange. Everything changed, the concept beyond the change, everything. So, that's teaching, there's no particular, how you say, information in Buddhism is called impermanent, thinking of impermanent, you know. That includes, you know, life too, you know. So, eventually, you know, everybody will die, you know. So, that has a, that's impermanent, so that probably will help, you know, learning impermanent. So then I think more talk, I think it's good, you know, to hear from different people, okay? So there's then now, one more, there's two more questions. The last one, here, second one. The shooting this week makes me angry and afraid. How do I overcome these feelings? So, I know one of the dentists, you know, in Taiwan, our friend, you know, his teacher told him not to watch news. Mm-hmm. So not to watch news, so he never watched news. For the beginner, you know, sometimes, as I said this many times, you know, avoiding object, many occasions, avoiding object is going to be more helpful than sticking with the object and try to apply the antidote. Make sense? No? Somebody's very annoying, then you're trying to stick with that and try to apply compassion, wisdom and all of that, and doesn't work. So better to avoid object. And here you say, has the space. You know, that makes sense, the space, you know, between you and the object. Because it's like too much to handle. It's very overwhelming, too much to handle. What you do, you don't just stick with that and make yourself miserable. On the other hand, you know, it's not going to change the circumstance. Huh? So, see, it's very, very unfortunate. It's very, very unfortunate that we all feel, you know, like very bad, you know. All our heart goes out to those people who lost their life for nothing. It's hard to believe, like, how in the world that somebody goes there, the people, like, these people are, like, not able to see, not able to hear, not able to function very well, and why, this is like, there's no word to explain. See, So another question is, you know, getting angry. You know, getting angry, does this help? You know, so because, like, yeah, same, you and me, same, you know, same. So in my case, so we need to, how to say, to think, you know, me getting angry, will that change? It's already happened. You know, if people lost their life, they're all lost. And other hand, you know, that you are not being happy, you know. That's not good. So what we can do, you know, practically, like say, what we can do, we can say prayer, you know, we can say prayer or for those who lost their, you know, loved one or families, and committing yourself, you know, I myself never ever will do this kind of action, never ever, you know. So that's your contributions. No, it's very good to have one person committed, voluntarily, deliberately committed not to do this kind of act. That is good, very good. No, we need more people like that. So the world is going to be safer. You know, if one person, because of that, like situations, then you make commitment. I myself, no matter what kind of circumstances, I will never take anybody's life. So that commitment itself is big contributions, you know, towards that, you know, tragedy. You know, rather than getting angry. So when you think from the causality point of view, every problem that we see in the world is very complex. It's not just one cause that leads to that. It's not just, there's like so many, and we have no clue, you know, we have no clue, like, as I said, there's in this room, there's almost close to 100 people, there's 100 different consciousness, mindset. And those 100 different mindset functioning from the Buddhist point of view, totally based on his or her karma. We have no clue. Karma means actions, no actions. No? So, usually that's what I do. When I do watch news, when I see some tragedy, I just say money mantra, you know. I just say money mantra. And it's very hard. It's very, extremely hard not to have negative thoughts as a human, you know. All kinds of thoughts arise. So then we have to, how to say, all kind of thought arise, you know, then we have to, how to say, analyze all the thought. As I mentioned before, many times it's not good to act on every thought that arises. It's not good to act on every thought that arises. So if all the thought is positive thought, yeah, you can act on. People get benefit, you get benefit, all everybody get benefit, that's good things. But out of 900 thoughts, out of that, how many of them are positive, how many are negative? If we act on negative thought, it's not good for you, it's not good for your friend, family, it's not good. So we need to, you know, think. So that's what I, you know, experience, you know, we should not act on every thought that arises. Some of the thought we can just let it go. We can just let it go. It's not that important to say. It's better not to say, you know, than saying something. You know? anger is very, very unfortunate. All this disturbing thought is very unfortunate that, you know, the way they arise, is always arise to supporting, kind of like support, where they arise, you know. No, we don't get angry when we eat cheesecake, right? There's no reason to get angry. Why you get angry when you eat cheesecake? Somebody does something, then, you know, anger arises as a support. But, you know, anger is not good, you know, no matter how it arises. Anger is, you know, it's not good, not good at all. When you get angry, it's not good, it's not good. No matter what kind of circumstance, but it's hard, I'm not saying it's easy, but no matter what kind of circumstance, need to try all our best not to get angry, you know. So, upset. So things happen there, doesn't mean it's going to happen here. But that's like we project, see? We just project. So, see here, I can say, people say 100 years ago, people used to, what do you call this?
Hitchhike.
So people get right. Then unfortunately somebody does something bad and people project. Not every person who hijack. Argentina, Patagonia, people used to do that. People give right, you know. So, like, you know, we project, you know, if something happened there, doesn't mean it's going to happen here. You know, things happen due to cause and condition. Doesn't happen because of nothing. It happened due to cause and condition. Doesn't mean happen there. Doesn't mean it's going to happen here. You know, something happened here. Doesn't mean it's going to happen there. Something happened to you. Doesn't mean it's going to happen to someone else. You know, it's all. See, you know, everybody has different experience. Not everybody has same experience. No, if somebody has that, no, you can't just say, okay, it's going to happen to me. That's not true. No, it might, it may not. No, but it's called, because it's based on causal conditions. Everything's happening due to the causal conditions. No? So maybe I'm saying this, it might help if you look at from the causality point of view. So that's probably how to, you know, to help to ease your fear. You know, your fear is not going to happen here. How do I overcome these feelings? You know, there's no easy answer. There's no easy answer. So see. In the guide to Shantideva's guide to Buddhist way of life, in this book, it's clearly stated in the books. You know, sometimes people don't, how you say, in that book, it's clearly stated so that if someone came here, destroyed the statues, you know, that we consider as very sacred, you know, all this time, if somebody come here, just burn, we are not going to. No, you are not going to hit that person who burns those holy image. You are not going to hit that person. You are not going to, you know, why? Because they're just a piece of art, you know. If you truly believe these are all the image inside the sangha are enlightened, so that means, you know, they can hurt. See? So nobody should lose their life or, like, get hurt because of the act. Shantideva said very clearly, you know, if somebody come here, just throw a big piece of stone on the Buddha statue, you are not going to hurt that person. You just, you know, don't do anything. Don't harm that person. Don't harm that person. You know, if the Buddha is enlightened, just destroying Buddha's image, it's not nice thing to do. But when it happened, you are not supposed to harm that person at all. You know, that statue can be replaced, you know. Hurting that person, beating that person, that's not good. That means you don't understand the teachings. You don't understand the teachings, you know. Teaching is to respect all walk of life, no matter what they do, you know, what they look like, you know. So they, you know, so to contribute for their happiness, not to disturb their happiness. So, and sometimes people forget that, you know, that instead of emphasizing on the teaching, people get so much emphasize on those first things. Oh, this is the worst crime that ever you can ever do. How dare you, like, burning that, you know, green taratanga, you know? And then, and it happened here one time, somebody stole something, and I told, you know, please not to put that person into prison. You know, so we don't know, you know, so it turns out that the motive is not to sell, but hoping that it will help him to protect something, you know. So this is just an example, So see, it's about, you know, like, dedicating your life for well-being of other sentient beings. That's what Buddhism is about, dedicating. It doesn't say, like, only Buddhists, doesn't say only Tibetans. It says, may all sentient beings, you know. It counts every walk of life, you know, doesn't matter you believing in something, not believing in something, you are Buddhist or not Buddhist, doesn't matter. All sentient beings, all walk of life, you dedicate your life for happiness, you know. To try to become part of their happiness, you know. If not, don't become obstacles for their happiness. So that's, at least there's something we can do. The best is to become part of their happiness, to contribute. If not, not to, you know, interrupt their happiness, you know. and just work for your own happiness. So that's the Buddha's teaching. So now there's only a few minutes left, so maybe discussions. What do you think? Discussions, yeah. So you want to say something? Huh? Oh, there's no time.
Yeah, I think we're running out of time.
Sorry, I took your time. next Sunday, yeah.
Yes. It's time for a question, but I think not discussion.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I hate the double dip.
So there's one question, then I will read next Sunday. Okay, next Sunday.
So I hate to double dip, but I think about the gun issue a lot. It's my core issue. And I have distanced myself from it because...
So you are talking this one?
Someone talked about the gun issue. And
well, yeah, so how
do you overcome it? It's my core issue, okay? Mm-hmm. I used to, but I've actually stopped doing work for a gun organization against violence because I had to pull myself away from it. It was taking too much out of me. And the way I look at it now, I've actually done a lot of thoughts about this through the Dharma. The reason, this is me how I see it, the reason that these things keep happening, because like you say, it's many causes and many conditions, but they don't change. Nothing changes. The gun control laws, mental health. So when this happened this week, rather than get angry, people are starting to get pissed. So I'm actually grateful because I actually believe it's going to change. People are getting more aware that it needs to be dealt with.
Okay.
So the way I look at it now is I actually have a lot of confidence and I'm grateful, not that it happened, but it's opening up a conversation because that's how equal rights change. It all starts because changing one gun control law changes all the causes and conditions. You delay. And so I've actually taken a gratitude look of like, okay, maybe this people getting alarmed now, it will open up a conversation because that's how things change. That's how our views have changed on gay rights, on transgender. It all starts with a conversation. And so now, and I'm able to look at that with some joy now rather than, because I've traced this through the Dharma, through that 12 wheel, about all these causes and conditions of these shootings. And it's complex, but if you have people are concerned enough that a conversation could start, then I'm hopeful. So I've transformed a negative situation into a very positive one.
Mm.
At the same time, distancing myself from it.
So that's very good to know that because of this tragedy, if more lives lose, that's not good to know. Right? Do you agree?
Yeah.
Huh? As I said, if somebody comes burn all these tankas, so that person should life should not be lost, you know. So then, like many causes of conditions, if anybody wants to say something about these questions, a shooting this week makes me angry and afraid. How do I overcome this feeling? Yeah, please. You know, if you want to say something, yeah, please say. Because we have a few minutes.
I'll be quick. But as a parent, it's a particularly difficult issue because you're explaining to small children the world that we live in. And so our conversation is more about, you know, it's our karma to be born into this time. How can we, if you look at the path to enlightenment as being the absolute antidote to such hatred, you know, how can we embody the teaching so that we embody the antidote to what's happening in the world? And so as my children say their prayers at night, as we do things, this is the conversation we're having, that we become the antidote through finding loving compassion. And His Holiness has been talking a lot about taking action. So not just praying, not that prayer is not very profound in ways that we don't understand, but that actually having the opportunity to take action, knowing your mind, knowing what you're capable, whether you need to stay away from a topic because you're not there yet, or whether you can act upon it. But the action part for me, joining campaigns, working with other people to become and embody the antidote through compassion, not out of anger, but more out of compassion, knowing this is just the time we've been born into. has been very helpful for me.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, thank you. Yeah. We have time? No time. No, okay. Sorry, maybe next Sunday. Yeah.
We have a skit now.
Thank you very much. Thank you, each one of you. Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts. Thank you.
Okay. So in the goal book, please turn to page 246. We'll read the dedication from Master Shantideva's Bodhikaryavatara. And it's on someplace on the first page, maybe the front or the back of the first page of the white booklet. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merit. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with the mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sound. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvest. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be free. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world.
Hey Chester. I'm going to go to this place, the Kadampa Center. They got a meditation class tonight. I thought I'd go check it out, see what Buddhism's all about. You want to come with me?
Oh, well, I don't know. Sounds like organized religion, and I got other things to do. I watch a show every week at this time, so no thank you.
Okay, Chester. I'll talk to you later. Oh yeah, it was great. Yeah, you should go check it out. It's a beautiful place. There are all these really nice people there. I feel so happy, so relaxed. It was really great. Yeah, you should come with. Hey, can I talk to you tomorrow? I got another call coming in. Hello? Oh, I'm so sorry, I had no idea. No, I didn't mean to offend you, I'm so sorry. Oh, no, I know what you mean, yeah. No, I get it. Well, it sounds like we need to talk. Yeah, let's do that. How about right now? Yeah? Okay, 5 minutes. Talk to you later.
Yeah, I saw that episode. That was awesome. I it was crazy, but call you back. I got another call coming in here. Okay. Hey, dude. Hey, please. Hey, don't take your crap out on me. No. I'm busy here. I got stuff to do, and Hey, nobody got time for that, so... What? That sounds like kind of a personal problem. Look, I gotta go. Thanks. Later.
Dad, I forgot I had math homework. I don't understand what we're doing in class, and I hate math.
Oh. You know what? I hate math, too. So, you go put your pajamas on. I'm going to make some popcorn, and we'll sit down and we'll do it together.
Okay.
How's that sound?
Thanks. Oh, my gosh, Dad. I forgot I had math homework. I don't understand what we're doing in class, and I hate math.
Really? And you decided this at bedtime, I see. I don't know. Why didn't you do your homework earlier? And I don't know what you're thinking, but getting it done now is like not the easy thing. So just go do it, and whatever you do, don't mess up and fail the class, or you'll be in a really big mess and have even more problems.
Okay.
Get out of here.
Look, hey, you totally screwed this up. I asked for a monthly analysis, not a weekly analysis. Now I need it by the end of the day, okay?
Yeah, you're right. This is totally screwed up. Wow. Oh, my God. I'll have it for you today. I'm so sorry. Hey, how's your son doing, by the way?
Oh, well, yeah, he's better. Look, thanks for asking. Hey, you know, I'm sorry about, you know, the yelling, but I guess I'm just under a lot of stress.
Yeah, I don't know how you do it. You've got so much going on. You need to take care of yourself.
Well, thanks, Luke. I appreciate your effort. Thanks a lot.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, look, you totally screwed this up, pal. I asked this for a monthly analysis. You give me a weekly analysis? Uh-uh. And I need it by the end of today.
Well, why didn't you ask for a monthly instead of the weekly then? You want it by the end of today, huh? You're nuts. I don't think so. I'm not working late again. Not this week.
Oh, great. I have to work with these morons.
Speak for yourself.
This is not an episode from The Twilight Zone. It's an episode from Samsara. Question is, choice, every moment is yours. Are you going to be working with your mind, or are you going to be Captain Grumpy Pants?
So I don't know about you, but I want to make sure that I'm not Mr. or Ms. Grumpy Pants. So I'm going to support myself by supporting a place where I can work on my mind. So when you come to the table with the annual appeal, you are supporting your mind as well as this building. So please consider being a supporter. Becoming a supporter now, a new supporter, by increasing your support or by offering your time as a service supporter so that we can all make sure that the Kadampa Center thrives. If you're new to the center, you may not have received your annual appeal in the mail. If you simply raise your hand, we'll be sure to get one to you right now. Anybody need one? Okay, great. Okay, and we've got some right over there as well. And just keep your hands up high. We'll make sure that you get one.